Riverdale High, home of the wholesome, the upright, the relentlessly mainstream, has a new student, the All-American School, home of Archie and Jughead, enrolled Kevin Keller in September, and Kevin is interested in neither Betty nor Veronica because he's openly gay. And while Kevin Keller is hardly the first gay character in a mainstream comic, Riverdale represents something very different than the X-Men's New York or Superman's Metropolis. Joining us to talk about it is Glenn Weldon. He blogs about comics for NPR's pop culture blog, Monkey See. He also reviews them for NPR.org, and he joins us from Studio 3A. And Glenn, I have to. Are you sitting in my seat, Glenn?
I am not. They actually asked me not to.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate that. That's all right. Of course, we want to hear from listeners as well. How important is that Riverdale reflects the times? Should Riverdale remain in that timeless bubble of the malt shop instead? Call us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website, npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And Glenn, how is Kevin Keller introduced?
Well, it's important that you stipulate openly gay, Neil, because, you know, the jury's still out on Jughead. He has been fending off Big Ethel for decades now. And, you know, Professor Flutesnoot has always personally pinged my gaydar. But, yeah, they introduced him the way they introduce a lot of characters into the Archie mythos, I hesitate to call it a mythos. He moves to town. And through no fault of his own and perfectly unwittingly, he upsets the delicate equilibrium that exists between the five principles. In this case, he is hanging out with Jughead. Veronica comes over, falls kind of madly in love with him because he's a very attractive young man. And so doing, insults Veronica, and he takes it upon himself, Jughead does, to get revenge on Veronica by making sure that nobody tells Veronica that that Kevin is gay. So again, this is the normal way that characters are introduced. Hijinks ensue, lessons are learned, everybody leaves friends. What remains to be seen is how much he's actually going to be hanging around Riverdale after this. So they've introduced several African-American characters, several Asian characters, an Indian character, Hispanic characters, and then they kind of tend to cycle into the background. So there are plans to bring Kevin Keller back already. They've stated that. And that's certainly more than has happened with, say, Tomiko. But there are a couple African-American characters who've kind of made it into the second tier.
The B list of students at Riverdale High.
Your Mooses, your Midges, your Big Ethels, your Dilton Doilies. Chuck and Nancy are two African-American characters who are kind of in that same thing. So whether or not Kevin makes it to the big time or if he just sort of cycles through remains to be seen.
They did say in a press release that he would not be a one-shot, that they did plan to bring him back for three or four episodes at least.
Mm-hmm. And that's the interesting thing about this character. Riverdale, as you said, has this interesting... The Archie books have this interesting tension. They have to attempt to adapt to the times while pretending that the times don't change. So
right.
How they dealt with this character, how they introduced him, which was a very, in the way of the Archie books, innocuous to the point of blandness. That was an interesting and very matter-of-fact, non-apologetic way of presenting him. And it was really interesting to see.
It is interesting to look at who the audience, intended audience, that we think about comic books. Well, most of them are sold these days to people over 30 years old.
Yes.
They're not really intended for young people. Not so with Archie.
Geeks like me is what you're trying to say. Yes.
And me too.
Yes, okay. Well, yeah, especially superhero books. It might surprise some parents to realize that a lot of the books that involve people in capes and cowls beating up on each other to fight crime aren't necessarily going to be guaranteed kid-friendly. The Archie books are kind of pointed toward tweens. But, you know, comics are a medium, and they're a broad medium. So the Archie books are kind of tended to be all ages. There are adult comic books, and there are a lot of great comics for kids, especially interested for kids. The problem is you don't find them in the supermarkets. You don't find them in the grocery stores. You find them, if you find them at all, in libraries and in comic book stores.
Which is a completely different marketing system than existed before. Riverdale also, there have been previous attempts in history to bring Archie up to date, and indeed, well, we all remember Sugar Sugar.
Of course. They were rocking in the free world, the Archies were, yeah. What's interesting is that the creators of Archie, the publishers of Archie, have always tended conservative. In fact, in 1972, they licensed the characters of Archie's to a Christian publisher, who then proceeded to take the characters and publish a series of 20 or so religious tracts. So, and they were evangelical Christian, unsubtle, and, you know, it was weird to see Jughead kind of hectoring you about the evils of divorce and witchcraft and sex education. But those books are out there, and if you can find them, they're a lot of fun. But yes, to kind of go from that in 1972 to having the presentation of a very matter-of-fact gay character is quite a long way.
Here's an email question from Eli in Anthony, New Mexico. Does this apply to the Mexican version as well? I grew up reading that one. I'm not sure this would go over too well back home.
Well, this book, we introduced Kevin in a book called Veronica, which is one of many, many, many in the Archie oeuvre. And the ones, the Archie comics that you find in supermarkets tend to be really thick digests printed on really cheap paper. There's new comics, there's new stories in there mixed in with reprints. Veronica is not that. Veronica is one that you would find in a comic book shop. It looks like a regular comic book. So he hasn't appeared in throughout the sort of Archie universe yet, but it's the year is young.
We're talking about Archie Comics and the entry into the 21st century, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and we'll start with Matt, and Matt's on the line from Cleveland.
Hi.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. I was just calling to say that I was more upset by Archie choosing Veronica over Betty than I ever would be by a gay character being introduced to the comic.
Yeah. You did, of course, see the following issue where, in fact, it was Betty who was the choice and not Veronica.
Yes. Oh, was it? See, I didn't even hear about that.
Yes. Oh, you just dropped them like a rock after he chose Veronica.
These were all
kind of changed the whole dynamic of everything, I thought.
Yeah, but see, nothing ever changes in Rivendell. I mean, if it happens very slowly. That was an imaginary story, as opposed to the hard hitting, gritty reality of Riverdale. But yeah, that was just a sort of a self contained little imaginary story that they did to get attention and mainstream press, which they really did in a big way.
Thanks very much for the call.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Kevin, and Kevin is with us from Hampstead in North Carolina.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to mention that when this story originally came out of the new character, my name is actually Kevin Keller. And, man, there were howls coming from my workmates because I'm a male nurse. I've surfed most of my life, so this character has like long, flowing blonde hair, and all my friends and family thought this was an absolute riot for not only having my first name, but first and last name as well.
Kevin, I will confess that the high school I graduated from was Riverdale.
Huh.
Yeah, no such linkage for me, but I think that was quite enough.
Did you have a Letterman jacket, Neil?
I did have a Letterman jacket.
Awesome.
In no sport. You got one for working at the newspaper. Thanks very much for the call, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. I wanted to ask you, well, let's see if we get another caller on the line, and let's go to, this is Bob. Bob with us from Beaverton in Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm 63 years old. I'm a retired school teacher, and I was a football coach. And I just want to tell you that I think it's great. I'm all in favor of it. I think it's about time, and I just want to tell you that it's a character that's much needed. And I left it for both Betty and Veronica too, so, as many people did. So anyway, I think I read them all the time when I was growing up, all the time, and so.
Do you know anyone who reads them now, Bob?
You know, I have to confess, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. I'm sorry about that, but I don't think I do. But I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm glad you're running the segment, and I'm all in favor of it. So that's all right. I wanted to say.
Thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The eternal triangle of Archie, Betty, and Veronica. This, of course, can never be resolved because this is one of the great conundrums of Western civilization.
Yeah.
It's along there with Ginger and Marianne, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's the central plot of these books. I mean, really, there are five characters, but it comes down to those three. And, you know, when people get upset about the introduction of the gay character, what I say to them is, well, what is more worrisome to you, that this comic acknowledges that gay people exist or that it's only two real female characters are almost entirely defined by fighting over a dude? You know, I mean, we have to kind of put things in some kind of perspective here.
Let's go next to this is Joe. Joe with us from Oakland.
Yeah, hi. My question is basically in two parts, and I should say up front that I really don't care if they introduce a gay character or not. But Kevin Keller, first off, okay, it's well and good that he says he's gay, but if he doesn't have a boyfriend or ever express a romantic interest in any of the other men, young men at this high school, isn't that kind of a very vacuous form of gayness? And for that matter, if they do at some point introduce a love interest for him, is it just going to be another shallow love interest, or are they kind of trying to develop that character too?
And vacuous and shallow are words we would never associate with Archie.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, that's a good point. I mean, certainly there is a lot of kissing going on in these books between Archie and Veronica and Betty. It's a public health nightmare how much kissing goes on. Now, a lot of that happens on the cheek, and you know, a little heart appears above their heads as this kiss happens. But you know, are they going to take it to the next level? When he's introduced, he is texting his friend William quite a lot in the town that he's from, and hoping that William and his other friend will come to visit. So it remains to be seen.
We're talking with Glenn Weldon, who blogs about comics for NPR's pop culture blog Monkey See and reviews them at npr.org. If you'd like to see the panels in which the new gay character, openly gay character, at Riverdale High is introduced, you can go to our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Glenn, there are interesting fashion choices made here for Ken as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yes, he has a tank top. Okay, he's the only person in Riverdale to have a tight-fitting tank top. I mean, okay, that's fine. But the rest of the time, he's dressed like everybody else. But yeah, the tank top was a little worrisome.
And there is other efforts. There have been parodies in Archie in recent weeks of a Jersey Shore and an upcoming one about Glee.
Absolutely. They know their marketing, these guys. They introduced a gay character so that you and I would talk about it. They got Archie to marry Veronica so that people would pick up on it. They also experimented with this new look, which was they basically created books in which the characters were drawn to be a little bit more realistic looking. And let me tell you, Neil, that was deeply unsettling. It just was creepy because without that little tic-tac-toe sign on his head, it's just not Archie.
And the way, have you ever tried to walk the way they walk in Archie comic
yeah,
books?
That's right.
You could fall down and hurt yourself.
Absolutely.
Kate's on the line from Williamsburg in Virginia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I have loved Archie comic books. I can remember being 6 years old and living in Yorktown, Virginia, and filling my wagon filled with comic books and then going around the neighborhood to all my friends' houses and trying to trade for Archie comic books and then coming home and just feeling it was the best feeling in the whole world to know that that evening I could spend just about the whole night reading Archie comic books. It was just fabulous.
And you realize at this point, had you kept those Superman and Green Lantern comics you traded away, you could put your grandchildren through college.
I probably could have, now that you mention it. Daggone,
yeah.
I'm so disappointed in myself. No, and I love the gay character. I think that's just, it's wonderful, and it's a darn shame they didn't do it years ago.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Kate.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
People really shouldn't dismiss these books. They're staying power. They're light, they're breezy, they're bright. They're simple entertainments in a way that a lot of superhero comics aren't. And, you know, who won the war? Archie comics are still in supermarkets, and all the superheroes have fled to the comic shops because they just didn't hold the sales.
Let's even go to Tony. Tony with us from Nevada.
Nevada, California.
Okay, go ahead. I do have to get new glasses.
Yeah, you guys mentioned that comic books are only available in comic stores and in a few grocery stores nowadays, but there are apps for the BlackBerry, for the iPad, for the iPod, and for the iPhone where you can get hundreds of comics, and many of them are available for free.
Right.
As an entry, of course.
That is an excellent point. I mean, there are all these comics for kids out there. There's all these comics out there, but especially comics for kids. And parents need to know they exist. And digital distribution is going to go a long way toward that, I think.
Comics on the iPad are incredible.
I agree.
Thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, your listeners should know about, if they want just a nice one-stop shop, it's SLJ, which is the School Library Journal, slj.com. They have a blog called, simply enough, Good Comics for Kids. That's all you need.
Other thing you should remember about Archie, you don't have to worry about getting the next issue to find out what happened.
They are done in one. There's none of these six-issue storylines, except for, of course, the Archie marries Veronica, Archie marries Betty thing. That was an experiment, and apparently it did very well.
Lisa's with us from St. Louis.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call and thank you for talking about this. I actually saved, I'm in my 40s, and I saved all of my, majority of my Archie and Betty and Veronica comics from when I was young. And now my 10-year-old daughter, we saw them in a box, and my 10-year-old daughter sits in her room. Whenever she's not doing homework, she gets in her room and takes my comics out, my tattered, worn, ripped comics, and she reads them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful that the stories are, then they have such staying power.
Yep.
And have changed so little.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Glenn, we want to thank you for your time today. Nice to have you there in Studio 3A. We'll be together again next time.
That's great. Good to be here, Neil.
Glenn Weldon blogs about comics for NPR's pop culture blog Monkey See, reviews comics for our website at npr.org. And again, you can see the moment when Kevin Keller comes out to Jughead on our website at npr.org. And we want to thank member station KQED for having us today. Special thanks to the engineering team. That's Paul Lancour and Monte Carlos. Tomorrow, journalist Catherine Ellison about her new memoir on parenting her son with ADHD. Jennifer Ludden will host. I'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in San Francisco.